praise you for who you are. We praise you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you would continually assist us and help us to live by a higher standard, oh God. Father, we thank you this morning that you entrusted us with this word, that you entrusted us with a word that would challenge us. And we thank you, Father God, for it, for loving us so much. For you said, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and corrects. We thank you, Father God, for the correction of your word in our lives that helps us to be more like Jesus. And so we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We have started a series, and I said we'll be on this really a big part of this year. And we're dealing with living by a higher standard. Living by a higher standard. How many of you know that we live in a society that the standards have been greatly decreasing? And we're not surprised that that happens in the world, but we see that happening in the church. That people's values, I was talking about last week, I said, you know, I said, when was the last time you heard anybody stand in a pulpit and say and use the word fornication? Nobody talks about it anymore because it becomes socially acceptable. And once it becomes socially acceptable, many times believers have a tendency to allow society's standards to become their standards. But we got to keep our standards up there, amen? We got to keep our standards high. You say, well, Pastor, I didn't do all these things right. You know, when I was coming to Hyman County, very few of us probably did. But you know what? We learn better, amen? And since because we learn better, we can teach better and we can do better. So, you know, I didn't get it right either, amen? But you know, I didn't have anybody telling me beforehand. So thank God, you know, that we have come beyond where we are and we can instill into our children and our little ones how to live a better life than we did, because that's really the goal, that every generation should be better than the generation before it. Hallelujah. And so that's our goal. Amen. Come on. I believe in chastity in men and women, among boys and girls. I believe in it. Well, this just don't seem realistic today. It's not realistic because we have lost the reality of Christ. It becomes realistic when we make Christ the reality of our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, And I realized, and the Lord kind of ministered me this through the week, that I realized that when you began to talk about higher standards, you have to go through a lot of the things that generations and people do that a lot of times people are doing in church, and it's not comfortable, and sometimes people have a tendency to get offended because they feel like you're quote trying to control them, because you tell me how to live. I don't saw it in the Bible, Jesus. Well, you know, that's not really true, but. You know, well, we won't argue with that point. But the point is, in dealing with this, the Lord shared this with me. And I'm going to ask you this question. And I think it's a good question. I think it's a question God asked me. And here's the question I'm going to ask you. And this is where we're going to start, and this is what we're going to deal with today. What is the highest standard the Lord has commanded us to live by? What is the highest standard? The highest standard that God has called us to live by? His word. But what within the word is the highest standard of God? And that's what I'm going to deal with this morning, because I'm glad that everybody gave me that look. I don't know. Good. I mean, we got a beginning point. And so I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 12, and we're going to start at verses 28, and we're going to read through verse 31. And so we're going to talk about what is the highest standard the Lord commands us to live by. And here's what it says in verse 28 of Mark 12. And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, and perceived that he had answered them well, asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, in that first section of when Jesus talks about thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, he takes that from Deuteronomy Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And he's quoting from Deuteronomy. But the second part of it, when he says, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, that wasn't in Deuteronomy. And I said, wow. So Jesus actually, in essence, added something to this. And what he did was he added a higher standard. Because people say, well, now how many times you hear people say, well, I love God, But they treat people like crap. But Jesus added another play into this. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Now listen, when they heard that, you know what they heard? They heard Old Testament. And so what they saw was the law. And the law said, we're going to keep all the traditions of the law and we're going to be okay. But then Jesus said, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as you love you. Now see, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, didn't like Sadducees and anybody else that wasn't Jewish. They walked around with an uppity attitude about them. But he says, but you got to love people. If you really want to understand loving God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, you got to also love people. Because you can't say you love God and despise the ones who are made in his likeness. Ooh, praise the Lord. So he takes them deeper in this understanding and revelation of love. Because many times people think, I love God because I go to church. Come on, I love God because, you know, annually I do something good for somebody. But Jesus said, no, if you really want to love God, treat people right. Love people the way you want to be loved. Hallelujah. And this is, go to John. John chapter 13. And while you turn, I'm going to read Galatians 6:2 to you. Because here's what Galatians 6:2. Now, this is the new covenant. This is after Christ. Look what he says. He says in Galatians 6:2, but you can go on to go ahead and go to John 13. But this is real short. Galatians 6:2 says this: bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now think about that. He says, so fulfill, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what was the law of Christ? To love one another. And this is the law of Christ exceeded the old Mosaic law. It exceeded it. See, the law said, if I just do it, I do exactly what the law says, I'll be okay. Now, of course, the problem with the law was nobody could keep it because it was impossible. And so when he was dealing with this law of loving people, and this was Jesus' law was walk in love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you what? Love one another. And here's what I realized about teaching about living by a higher standard. And this is what the Lord told me. He said, until they see these things that you're teaching through the revelation of love, all they'll see is religion. All they'll see is somebody standing up and telling me, I can't do this and I can't do that. What are you talking about? Shoot, I'm my own man. Okay, here we go. But he said, if you're going to understand the word, the only way you can understand the word is through the law of love. Or it'll be offensive to you. And how many people find the word offensive? A lot of people do. Sitting in church, that's why they like going somewhere where they're not really taught. Because it feels good, but it doesn't really require anything from them. But how many know love always requires something from you? And many times it requires what you don't feel like giving. Isn't that the truth? I mean, I'm sure Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross. I'm sure he didn't feel like carrying a big old wooden cross up Golgotha's hill. I'm sure he didn't feel like being beat. I'm sure he didn't feel like being whipped. I'm sure he didn't feel like having 9-inch nails stamped into his hands and feet. I'm sure he didn't feel like doing all that. But what happened? It was his love for the Father that allowed him to love humanity. And you cannot, listen, you cannot love people until you first love him. And when I say, listen, when I say loving people, here, you got to first love you. And if I love me, then I have to love the one who shows me how to love me. And the one who loves me, because he looks at me as valuable, then I see myself as valuable. But because I see myself as valuable and knowing that he created all of humanity, then I see humanity as valuable too. So there's nobody in my life I can just throw away. Now, if they choose to walk away, that's their choice. But I can't intend to throw people away. Because Jesus didn't intentionally just throw people away. Now, what are we talking about? Living by a higher standard. And I realized, ain't no need to talk about fornicating and all that other stuff and cussing, lying, spitting, chewing, all that. Ain't no need to talk about that if you don't love God. Because the person won't do it anyway. I mean, they'll do it in your presence, but as soon as you're gone, guess what? It's like going to somebody's house. They had all the liquor bottles and the weed and all that. When you get there, so you leave, they bring it all back out again. You know, what's the point of that? Because God is everywhere. He sees it all. And so guess what? You can't love people till you love him. Come on, hallelujah. See, you got to love him. You got to love him, and you got to love him the way he says to love him. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, y'all at John 13? And here's what the law of Christ is. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now, listen to this. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. There's one key point in there that he points out that they couldn't do in Deuteronomy. You see that part in there? 13:34, my bad. John chapter 13:34. Nobody said it. Y'all can say, what verse? That's cool. Amen. Let me know. John 13:34. Here's what it says. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Do you see something in that verse that wasn't in Deuteronomy? A new commandment, number one. But what is the example of this new commandment? As I've loved you. Deuteronomy, Old Testament, they didn't have an example of God's love. They had the law, but they didn't have an example of love. What Jesus does, he doesn't tell us to just love. He says, I'm going to be the example to you of how to love. So when we try to love people, we got to love them the way Jesus loves them. Now, in order for me to find out how Jesus loves people individually, that means I need to spend time with the one who is the example of love. Come on, amen. Because, see, you can't love everybody the same exact way. So then if you don't have a relationship with the Father, then he can't deposit into you the way by which he desires to love them. For instance, I could see somebody. Somebody could come to this church and say, boy, Pastor, I really have a need. I really have a need. I really need some money. And now listen, I can just out of my own human intellect be moved with compassion and say, oh, I'm so sorry. Everybody, we got to help them, right? I could be moved. But here's the thing. But if I don't have a connection to the source of love, because, see, the source of love might say, nah, they really just trying to take you for a ride because they've been down the other three churches down the street. So it takes me having a connection to love to knowing how to love somebody individually. So that there are times when people come and the Spirit of God says, yeah, bless them. Then there are times when God says, no, don't do that. Now, is all that love? Yeah. Because I'm not loving them out of my own intellect. I'm loving them based on the deposit of love, and the deposit of love is showing me what they really need where love is concerned. Because everybody don't need the same thing where love is concerned. Some kids need a hug. Some kids need a spanking. Some kids need a hug and a spanking. But you see what I'm saying? It requires different things. So I can't just have a cookie cutter technique on how I'm going to love everybody. Because that's what people do. Well, you know, well, if I give it to them, I got to give it to them. That's law. Law says if I do it for you, I got to do it for you. And I got to do it. Because what if people get offended if I do it for them and I do it for ain't my brother? My job is to love. And the way I love is by staying connected to the Father of love. So I'll know how to love people. See, when people have the idea, well, you're supposed to love me the same way you love them, not necessarily true, because you may not have the same need. See, here's one person who may be in lack, but, you know, they've been searching for a job. They've been doing everything they know to do. They've been seeking God and praying, you know, and they've been faithful to church. They didn't stop going to church because times got tough. They were faithful to it. They kept doing it, you know, and they said, I'm in a place of need. God says, I see their faithfulness. Yeah, help them because they're showing their value. They still seeking me. Then another person come in and say, I got a need. They ain't got no job. Ain't been looking for no job. Ain't been to church since forever. Since the last time they had a need, come on, amen, been living off of everybody, not trying to do no bad, made all these promises to pay people back, they made no effort, they borrow money, run away, and you never see them again. That's it. No, they don't need the same thing. So then I got to maintain a connection to love in order to know how to love them. And that's difficult. You know why? Because the law gave us a cookie cutter. And we try to use it. You can't. How many of you know you can't use the same technique on every child? You can't use the same thing of loving people on every person. So, you know, you got to have two things. Number one, you got to have the Lord. You got to have a connection. But you also got to have the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to have the Word. And if you don't have the Word, you don't have the, because why? God is his Word. So many times he's going to confirm what he tells you to do based on the Word. Sometimes he'll say, check them out. Quiz them a little bit. Sit down with them. Have a conversation. I don't want to come to church for a while. Just be faithful. I ain't got time to come to church. You got time to come and ask for money. Come on, amen. What's happening? Quiz people showing you that love relationship. And you have to be wise enough to hear God on how you need to minister to everybody. And you can't use the cookie cutter technique. Amen. Hallelujah. So listen to this. Jesus becomes the example of the high standard by which we love. Now listen, Jesus loved twofold. Number one, he loved the Father. And number two, because of his love for the Father, he was able to love humanity. Remember when Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it's all possible, let this cup pass from me. But then what conclusion did he come to? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. What's that? That's love. Love saying, regardless of what it's going to cost me, I'm going to do it, Father, because I love you. Now see, now listen. If Jesus was left to his own humanity, he would say, bump this. Forget this. Let's find something else to do. Let's just start over again, Father. But no. His love for the Father caused him to run the race that was set before him, and he finished it. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. Now, again, we're talking about what? Living by a higher standard. If we don't learn to live by love, we can't live by a higher standard because love is the highest standard we live by. But in order for me to walk in that love, I got to maintain my connection to what? The source of love, which is the Father. And don't try to use a cookie-cutter technique on people because it never works because I'm going to tell you now, religion and law always has a perception of how you should do things. Love doesn't. Remember when Jesus was talking about serving? He said, if the Roman soldier wants you to carry that pack 1 mile, he said, you carry it too. See, the law had a specific requirement. See, all the law, when it gave commands, gave a requirement in case you broke it, right? For instance, you know, if you as they say, if you kill a sheep, you got to kill your neighbor's sheep, you got to sacrifice a dove. There was always a sacrifice involved in the law. Well, guess what? Didn't take two men for you to end up dead, all right? So what God did through Jesus Christ was, what Jesus did was, I'm going to pay everything that the law requires. For every sin that you could ever commit, he said, my blood is going to pay for it. Now, come on, that's good news. That means so that means there's no sin that I commit that the Father hadn't paid for. Now, here's what law says. Shoot, God do that. I'm going to have me a sin fest then. If that's the case, because he already forgave me. Shoot, I'm finna go sin up a storm. He gonna forgive me anyway. See, you know, you ain't in the family yet. Because, see, when there's a deposit of his love, the deposit of his love don't let you think like that. It don't. It makes you appreciative to say, you know what, I want to live for you. Not because I'm afraid of hell, but because I know you've given me heaven. And so Jesus Christ pays the price. All that the law required. What did Jesus say? He said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. What did he mean? That the law was always going to require payment from you that you'll never truly be able to pay. And so that's why the Bible says in the Old Testament that the priest would go in once a year to offer up an offering to cover the sins of the people, but it never removed the sins of the people. So every year he had to go back and make this same sacrifice to keep the sins of the people from coming to the surface where God could see it. So he kept it covered. But Jesus came to say, I didn't come to cover your sins no more. I came to wash them away. All right. Woo, I got goosebumps on that. He came to remove them all. Now this is, that's why when you get born again, you don't have to live in fear of hell. Or if I do something that you know, if I sin, oh my God, I might. No, you don't understand. When you receive Jesus Christ, your life is hid in him. So when the Father looks at me, he doesn't look at me through what I've done. He looks at me through the perfection that he sees in his Son. And what the Father want to know is, are you going to still keep your faith in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone and not your works? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift from God, not of works, unless any man should boast. There's nothing I can do to get me heaven except have faith in Jesus. I can't be good enough. Come on. That's when you know people law might. You tell them, just come give your life to Jesus. I got to get myself together. What are they trying to say? I'm trying to earn this thing. You can't earn it. How much would you pay to be in a place where you never get sick? if the pharmaceutical came up with a pill that says for the rest of your life, you will not get sick, and it is guaranteed you go live for at least 150 years in good health. How much do you think that pill costs? Am I talking to anybody? Now, if you couldn't pay for it down here, how are you going to pay for health for eternity in heaven? Well, the streets are gold. The streets in heaven are so gold that they're translucent gold. Ooh, glory. See, people say, oh, that's just wasteful. Now God's just wealthy. It's not, to him, it's not wealth. It's decoration. Come on, amen. Now, see, everybody like that. But, see, people trying to get there, trying to earn it, trying to buy it, trying to be good enough. But let me tell you, my God. Okay, let me do a survey real quick. How many of you, since you've been learning just to love God, I'm not talking about do this, do that, but just love God, this work in your relationship to love God. How many of you found that since you just learned how to just love God, that there are sins in your life that just fell away? Right. Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. Come on, show, raise it like you're proud. Now, why is that? Did you spend 20 hours fasting, praying, Lord, get rid of my sin, Lord, get rid of my sin, Lord, please get rid of it? No, what happened? You learned how to love God, and in the loving of God, there was an exchange. For your weakness, he exchanged it with his strength, and when you were stuck, you was all bound up because you kept committed to loving him. In your love for him, those chains and bounds began to fall away. See, when Paul and Silas was in jail in the midnight hour, they began to pray and to sing praises unto God. And the Bible says they were locked within the inner prison. They were not only in the inner prison, but they were chained up in the inner of the inner prison. But what got them free? It wasn't because they began to pray and fast, Lord, set us free, Lord, set us. No, the Bible said at midnight they began to pray and to sing praises unto God. And as they praised God, the chains fell off and the doors that were had them locked in open up, hallelujah. All because they learned how to love on God. And people trying to get free, 7 steps for deliverance, 5 steps to get debt free. Well, all it calls back on is just loving. Just love God. How many of you saw your finances get better when you just start loving God? I'm going to keep tying because I love God. I'm going to keep giving because I love God. And as you start loving, I give up. Here comes money. Whew. Here comes money. Whew. You ain't prayed about it, ain't looking for it. You might, it rank up, but what I'm going to do, Lord, I'm going to trust you for, oh, well. Do you know when you say that, oh, well, Lord, I'm just going to trust you? You know what that is? It's love. It says, I trust you that you got me covered. And I mean, you know, every time you do that, boy, he come through. And you don't even know where it comes. Sometimes you look up, you don't even know where it comes. It's just there. You close your eyes to praise God. You open your eyes, $5,000 laying right there in front of you. Don't even know where it came, but it's there, praise God. Why? Because you're loving him. What God is looking for is people that will love him. Love says, Lord, here am I. Send me. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever I need to let go of for the kingdom's sake, I'll let it go. Because I love you. See, works make it hard. Have you noticed how exhausted you get when you're just trying to work your relationship with God in terms that you're trying to earn something? You know, when you go in prayer and you just working, hallelujah, 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 thank you, and you're just trying to do that, trying to get something. But have you noticed when in the time when you're not doing all that, you're just saying, Lord, I love you. He blesses you. You know why? Because he know you ain't trying to do anything other than just love on him. All that other stuff. Now, it's good to fast and pray because we need to fast and pray. But I'm saying is that many times it's just a work of the flesh. We do it because, you know, we're trying to get something. But how many of you know, nobody in any form of relationship wants somebody to be nice to them just because they want something. Come on now, don't be bringing me nothing because you want some money. I cooked you dinner, really, why? What you want? See, I don't like that. You love me, just love me. If you just love me, I bless you. Come on, amen. You just let me bless you. I like the way you love me. Not asking for nothing. Come on, amen. Now, listen. So as we go through this, and we're dealing with this high standard of living, and we're going to get into some specific things, but as we go through this message in the Word, I want you to keep at the forefront of your mind that all this must be done by this highest standard of love. So when I start talking about, you know, all this other stupid relationships and all these things you know, masonry and all these things, sorority. When I start talking about these things, you got to see this through love. If you don't see it through love, all you're going to do is get offended at it. So then that's why I'm teaching you on love, because when you hear the word, hear it through the love of God. Hear it through love. Say, okay, Lord, because you love me, you're going to give me a word that's going to challenge me this morning. But thank you, Lord, for loving me. But if it's just religion, then you'll dismiss it as a man. And this is, loving God doesn't simply mean I sit around waiting for him to drop his will on my life. That's what people think. I'm going to sit down. I'm waiting for that grand thing. Here's what people do. Matthew, I'm going to see your chair for a second. Here's what people do. They get to church, and they sit. They come in. They sit. They get up. They go home. Then they come back next week, and they sit. Pastor preaching, get involved. Here's where our needs are. We need this. We need this. We need that. We need folk who just want to come in and pray for 30 minutes. This is what we need. They come in, they sit. And they wait. Oh, I'm waiting for God to do this great thing in my life. But they sit. And they wait. They sit. And they wait. I want God to do this. I'm believing God for this great thing to be done in my life. I'm waiting for the will of God. I sit. There's paper on the floor. Just look at it. But they sit. They wait. They sit. And they wait. And they wonder why nothing ever changes. Listen to me. Loving God says, find whatever your hands can do and do it with all your might. Do it with all your might. Now listen to this. Higher standard. See, low standard says, now you pay me, I'll do that. Really? How about just do it because you love God? Yeah, I preached for years. And got nothing in the natural. Didn't care. I was just glad to be talking about Jesus. I was glad the folk would actually want to come out and hear me talk about it. Me and my broken English, and they come out and listen to me talk about Jesus. I was so glad just to have Jesus. I was glad. But what happens with people? Nah, I can't do that now. I got to have this much money to pay, be a pastor. Really? What if God said pastor him for nothing? Can you pastor him? I got needs. Don't you think God knew that before he asked you to do it? Didn't he already got you covered? If God asked you to do something, he already got you covered in every aspect of your life. I just can't come in and pray. Nobody see me doing that. Who cares? God sees it. But people come in and just sit. And they think coming to church and sitting is the criteria for getting God's best for their lives. Let me tell you what the best for God's life is. Do something. Do you know that every time you guys help put away the chairs, God's taking a record of that in heaven? Every time you show up just to pray, he's taking a record of that in heaven. Come on, amen. Every time you just bring past the water, guess what? God's taking a record of it in heaven. Don't despise the days of small beginnings, even in your personal life when it comes to serving God. It's not going to be glamorous starting out. Because I want a high standard. I want a high standard. Really? Pick up paper. That's not high enough. I got a master's. What am I doing being in church picking up paper? Who cares? I'm a doctor. Who cares? That's what you are in the world. But in the house, you're a servant. Pick up paper. You see something that needs to be done. You ask more people if you go to, do you see something in your church that needs to be done? Yeah, shoot. They need to get on. Well, why don't you do it? Because you notice it. Here's why I learned, y'all. If you notice it, you're probably anointed for it. Hey, come on, hallelujah. But isn't that what people do? They sit. And they don't want to invest anything. And they sit. And they sit. This is, loving God doesn't simply mean I sit around waiting for him to drop his will on me. But it means I diligently pursue his will through prayer, spending time in the word, and in his presence, and being faithful to the local church. That's what he calls me to do. How many of you know God can never bless us if we're not faithful to the house he planted us in? And listen, many things, remember I tell you, and I've said that before, remember why I was telling you why I went to Faith is a Victory? And I wasn't doing anything. I mean, I was just, you know, I was going, but I wanted to, because the Lord's told me the first 2 years, he said, I want you to just sit. Sit and do nothing, just sit. Well, you know, for me, sitting and doing nothing was not comfortable, because I came out of a church where I was doing a lot. But God said, I want you to sit and I want you to learn the word. Guess what? That was obedience. And for me to be able to sit and listen, why do you think I got big stacks of notes at home of things I've taken over the years? Because of obedience. I sat and I took good notes. And then one day I was sitting, I said, Lord, I just want to do something. And the Lord told me this. This was before I became working the projection. He had me, he said, help people plug into the ministry. And I would find people who would come in every Sunday, but I know they never really got involved with anybody or anything. And I see people sitting on a wall, and I just go befriend them. Invite them over for dinner, feed them, became their friend. I said, man, I said, you know, and I never even talked about really getting involved with the church as much as I just want to be your friend. I saw you standing there, and I saw that you needed a friend. Come on, amen. How many know people in churches, no matter how big it is, people still need a friend? All right, and all these people, I would help them, you know, I would help them. I would just help them and just be their friend to answer the questions about the ministry. Now, mind you, listen, nobody at church knew I was doing this, not one person. But all those people that I befriended got involved in the ministry, and all of their lives began to get blessed. But I had to make a commitment, listen, to help them plug into a ministry and get involved. And God started blessing their lives. Now, some of them got out of it because, you know, they got offended or something, whatnot. But their life went down the toilet real fast. But I'm saying that, again, talking about living by a higher standard, you got to start where you are, and you got to be faithful to the place God plants you. I mean, if you went out and bought an apple tree because you loved apple pies, apple fritters, all right? I like me a good apple fritter, I do, right? And you put that thing in your backyard, you buried it, put the roots deep, but every morning you woke up, your apple tree got up and ran over to the neighbor's yard. How would you feel? Now, mind you, you dug the hole, you paid to get it there, put it in the ground, you wake up every morning, your darn tree got up and went to the neighbor's yard. Well, what's going to happen eventually? You're going to say, well, you know what, just stay, if that's where you, just stay over there. I get me another tree that want to be in my yard. Come on, that's what God calls us to be faithful to where he plants us. And listen, and when he plants you somewhere, just reproduce what God wants you to reproduce. If you're supposed to reproduce apples, reproduce some apples. And reproduce a whole bunch of apples. You say, yeah, well, I got all these apples, only one person likes them. Who cares? Give them all that one person, they'll go out and find somebody like apples. But you be what you're called to be, and you be faithful to it. And you plant yourself there, and you take roots there. Until God himself says, okay, now I need to transplant you. Then you transplant yourself. Amen? But you got to spend time in his presence. You got to spend time in the word. You know, here's another thing, too. You need to spend time with the people you go to church with. Not all of them, but some of them. You need to spend time with some of them. Come on, what kind of family would you be if everybody in the family hung out with everybody else except everybody in the family? That wouldn't be a good much of a family, wouldn't it? So you need to spend time together. You need to spend time. You need to call people. Listen, I'm not talking about spending hours and hours, but just call them and say, hey, I just want to call and see how you were doing. Don't you know that's a ministry in the church? Just call and check on people to see how everything, okay, just want to call and see if you're doing okay. Just let you know I love you and was thinking about you. That means the world to people. Amen. But can't we get a committee for that? Really? We need a whole committee for that? To love. I got to put you on a committee to love somebody when it's already in your heart to do it. Really? Just do it. You don't have to get on, you know, have long, deep conversation, but just call and say, hey, I just want to call and say, hey, how you doing? How the family doing? You know, everything going good for you? Pray. Hey, amen. Just want to let you know I love you. All right. Go to Deuteronomy chapter. My goodness. Whew. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 17 and 18. Again, we're dealing with living by a higher standard. Amen? Am I helping anybody today? Amen. I want to help you. I really do. I want you to have such a blessed, rich life. I do. I want your life to be rich. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. He says, ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Now, of course, we know he's talking about Israel, but we can kind of transplant this to where we are. Now, listen, what is the new command I give unto you? What's the new command? To love thy neighbor, to love the Lord thy God, and to love your neighbor like you love yourself. That's the command. All right, now look at this. So I want you to think about that command when we read this. All right, you shall diligently keep the command of the Lord your God, which is what? To love your neighbors, to love people. But in order to love people, we said what? You got to first love God. Now this is, and his testimonies. Now you do need to keep his testimonies. You need to keep his testimonies so involved in your life that every time something against you, you ought to be able to say, wait a minute, let me tell you, I know you're coming problem, but problem, let me tell you about another problem that came that was very similar to you, and let me tell you what my father did with that problem. And start talking to your problems. Mountain, you see, the Bible said we're to say unto our mountains, whatever mountain you need to speak to, you need to speak to your mountain with a testimony. Amen. I seen you before. You lost last time. You're going to lose this time. Amen. Now this is, he said, which he has commanded thee, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Now notice this, in the sight of the Lord. Now this is, if we are going to do what is right and good, we must do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, not in your own sight, not in society's sight. We can't do what's good because society says it's good. We can't do what's good because, you know, everybody else think it's good. We do what is good and right on the basis of what how God sees it in our life. What's good, listen, what's good for me could be wrong for you. Again, you can't use a cookie cutter technique. For instance, I'll give you a prime example. When I used to do jail ministry, it was about 7 years I did jail ministry. Loved jail ministry. My God, I love jail ministry. But when I became a pastor, the Lord said, you got to let jail ministry go. Now, was jail ministry a good thing in those 7 years I did it? It was a wonderful thing. Do you know how many people came to jail just because they thought it was a good idea? You know how many other people stayed? None of them. The first time the door shut, clank, I gotta get out of here. I got one guy going, I gotta get out of here. Dude, you ain't made for jail. You ask them, well, why did you do this? Why, I thought it was a good idea. Well, that's the problem right there. Did you even pray about it? No. See, they heard about the fame and the attention that was going on in the jail. Come on, amen. So what's right for me could be wrong for you because God didn't tell you to do it. See, you can be successful in something, y'all, that's something God didn't tell you to do, and the world would praise you. But God would say, wait a minute, that's not what I asked you to do. Yeah, you may, but see, that praise from people, that's all you get. That's as far as it goes. Because God says, no, what I'm blessing you for is obedience, to do what I've asked you to do. And sometimes, listen, how many know when God said, Donald, sit, that went against everything that I had been doing prior. But because I loved him, I had to obey him. Now, I squiggled in that seat for 2 years. But I sat there. I forced myself to sit there because I knew it was what God said to do. And I began to say, Lord, please just let me do something. That's when he said, you can do the film projection. Put the words up on down on the screen. And I was good at it. In fact, I was great at it. I'm not bragging, but I was great at it. Man, I'd get that thing, slide that one up, put that one on. Man, I'd show up. Listen, I'd show up when I wasn't even assigned to work. I would show up and get it all together for the people coming in. God, I was so excited just to be doing something. I said, and one girl didn't show up, man, and service was starting like at 11. Shoot, 10:59, I was in her place. I'm getting your blessing if you don't want it. She came running in like 11:01. I get it. I said, well, you better get here next time. Good girl, I'll take your blessing fast. You get here. Why? Because it's about serving. Did anybody ask me to do that? No. You know what got me to that? Love. But they didn't ask me. Just do love don't have to be asked. Honey, will you please pay the bills this month? Love don't have to be asked that. Love does that because love loves you. All right, let me get back. So listen, so then right and good has to be determined, this is, by how God sees it, not by how. See, just because somebody else does something don't mean you need to do it. So then you determine in your life what's right and good based on your relationship with him. Amen. It'll keep you from being worn out. keep you from being, it keep you from being frustrated. Jail was easy for me. It was easy, man. Jail, praise the Lord. I'll go to jail. People are like, I love going to jail. What if you get locked in that way? But me and Jesus and the Holy Ghost being that way. I got enough knowing to do what I'm called to do. But when you're not knowing that to do it, I had one pastor came in there. I mean, he just freaked out. I mean, he started hyperventilating. Like, dude. But see, he didn't need to be there. But see, other pastors were doing it, so he thought, well, I just jump on the bandwagon too. He ain't enough. Dude, go back and pass your people. Just go back, be faithful to your people. That's probably what you need to be focusing on right now. And don't worry about jail. People think they need to be doing something. Just be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I mean, you know, he sacrificed his gas and his time, come down to jail, only to find out he wasn't supposed to be doing it. You know, good intentions, but not obedience. Listen, so then this is, so right and good are not determined by our perception, nor societies, but by the fathers. That's what determines right and good. So listen, if we are going to see that which is right and good for us, we must be willing to invite God into every area of our lives. We have to invite him in. God is a gentleman. He is not going to kick your door in and make you do something. You got to invite, Lord, I invite you into every area of my life. Show me what I need to be doing and show me what I don't need to be doing. And let him prune those things out of your life that are just dead. Just because somebody's successful at it, don't mean you're going to be successful at it. And this one, and he closes 18 talking about that he said, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. Let me tell you something. If things are going to be well with you, you got to determine by that higher standard of love, what do I need to be doing? And not just a bunch of stuff that something that he hasn't called me to do. Amen? So I'm going to stop right there. Now next week, here's what we're going to talk about. And this higher, this living a higher level, living by a higher standard. We're going to talk about the marriage covenant. The marriage covenant. And how many know that it's important that you understand in your marriage what it means to have a covenant and how in that marriage you're supposed to function based on what the Word of God actually says. And I don't care how it looks and how it feels, you still got to do what God says. But here's the thing, but you got to see it through love. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's stand up and...